It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we are here and we're doing life together, and as always, we're really glad that you've joined us.
You work outside of the home.
I do.
And you probably have a lot to get done on the weekends.
I do.
And you're a fairly productive person on the weekends.
Instead of being at this radio show, I need to be home pulling weeds or doing something else, right?
Yes, you do get a lot done because you seem like you're an organized person.
I am organized. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I am. I'm very organized. I do try to have productive weekends because if you're like me, you work outside the home, inside the home, you still on the weekends have a lot to do. It's real easy for me to get distracted, but sometimes I want to relax and say, I'm not doing anything this weekend. But how about you? Are you like that on the weekend, or do you get a lot done?
No, I'm a little bit of a type A, so when things sit all week long because you're busy during the week, the weekend rolls around, and part of you wants to say, oh, let's just take a break and not do anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you can't relax when that has to be taken care of.
I know. And I'm kind of like that. I see something, and it's the compulsion. I've got to get it fixed or do something with it. Although, when it comes to gardening, I'm bad.
Right.
Neither of us like to garden.
No, I can't get anything to grow.
So we have a lot of weeds that are growing, but nobody wants to go out and pull them. Maybe I need to get productive in my garden this time. I don't think too many of us want to do the bills. Norm and I do that every Saturday morning. We get up and it's not fun.
No.
But we have to sit and pay those bills.
The way out of that is to be bad at it.
And then
let your spouse take it over.
Let's do it. How about cleaning the bathrooms? What about that? Do you like to clean bathrooms?
No, but I occasionally do.
I know. So does my husband.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of them. It takes a long time to do that.
We have three. And one day the toilet in our basement was pretty rough. Admittedly, my wife hadn't been in there for weeks.
Uh-oh.
And my parents were in town. And Dad comes out of the bathroom and says, it looks like a Texaco in there.
Oh, no. That's bad. That's bad. It's very easy to get distracted when we need to get things done. And as we're saying, there's just so many things that people have to do. This is the reason we want to talk to you today about being productive, because most of us want to use our time wisely and we want to get things done. I don't think there are too many people who purposely say, I just want to be lazy. Do you?
Usually not. No. I've never met one.
No.
Time is a limited commodity, and we've all heard the saying, work smarter, not harder. I've always said work smarter and harder.
And harder.
But the popular saying is work smarter, not harder.
It's using your time wisely, like you were saying. I was reading a whole lot in this area as I was preparing for the show, and it's more about managing your energy. This is what I kept reading, was it's more about managing your energy rather than time management. If you have energy, just think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You do kind of focus on something a whole lot better when you're doing something if you have the energy for it. It's easier to get things done that we have passion for. Mm. If we really get excited about this cleaning thing and I get it done, it'll be off my checklist. It'll be over. We tend to be more productive. That's our first tip, is that you have to get some energy for the job, and then you probably will be more productive.
You do make a good point. When I've got a big project coming up, if I take it easy a couple of days prior and say, you know what, let's get ready.
Yeah.
When it does come, if I hadn't burned myself out the two nights before,
you're ready
to
go.
We're good to go, yeah.
Here's an interesting fact. In 1926, before you and I were born, even me, Henry Ford, who we all know as an American industrialist and founder of the Ford Motor Company, he conducted a bunch of experiments, and this is what he found. And this is so counter to what we're doing today. He found that if you reduce your work week from 10 hours to 8 hours a day, and if you take your day and you shorten it from 6 hours to 5, that your productivity increases.
Wow, we've gotten away from that, haven't we?
We really have. We should promote these 5-hour days.
I'm not so sure how well that would go over, but you're constantly reminding us about what happens when we don't get enough sleep, and for example, when we pull an all-nighter, when we study or have lots of things to do. How does lack of sleep affect your productivity?
It's funny because it's a simple thing, and it's not something we think about, but the lack of sleep is one of the things that stops people from being productive. Mm-hmm. It's important for us not to overwork ourselves, of course, and a lot of people do. A lot of you listening are working long, long hours. Then you might be in bed at night, and you're thinking about all the things you have to get done the next day, or the new project, or how you're going to deal with an employee, or whatever it might be. And then you stay up and you're wrestling during the night and you're not sleeping much.
Right.
And so that is a very, very important concept to get good sleep, to be productive. It's one thing I tell the medical students all the time. Mm-hmm. None of this cramming for a test at the last minute. If you want to get a good grade, get 8 to 10 hours of sleep and you'd probably get a better grade.
Even though Thomas Edison was embarrassed by his napping habit.
He used to nap?
Yes.
Thomas Edison, the inventor, napped?
Daily. And then John F. Kennedy ate lunch in bed and then settled in for a nap every day.
Every day as the president.
Right, yeah.
So he had his lunch served in bed. I'm picturing that. Here's another little fact that we found, that Winston Churchill's afternoon nap, he said, that's non-negotiable. Mm. I got to have it. He believed that it helped him get twice as much done. Churchill, we've got now Edison and Kennedy. Those are pretty good things to think about.
Right. It begs the question, should napping be a part of the day?
And I'll, yes.
Yeah, let's ask that question at work.
Listen, though, I was in Italy this summer.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they work really hard. They get up really early in the morning. They work really hard. I was in this little 12th century village. And then from 1 to 4, the entire town shuts down. Businesses close. People go home because they have these 7-course meals at lunch. And then people go home and they nap. And then they open up things from about 5 to 7. And then they're eating dinner at 10 o'clock at night.
Hmm.
It was very relaxing.
Yeah, I bet.
I liked it.
Well, this discussion is making me sleepy. Let me ask you this. How does saying yes to everything affect your productivity?
A lot of us have trouble doing that. Here's my saying. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
If you overload yourself and you take on too much, then you're going to have problems with productivity because you can't get everything done. And when you overcommit to something, then that's a problem. So we need to learn to stop saying yes. If you have so much to do, you really get low results, and then you get overwhelmed, and then you get nothing done.
That's one that gets me, is when someone at work doesn't delegate and they try to do it all. Is that person productive?
You can be very productive as someone who takes on everything, but then part of the problem is that the person who's doing that tends to lose sight of things. It's like you start dropping the balls. You know, if you have too many balls in the air and you're not delegating, then you start dropping those balls. I think it's really important to say no to people, to delegate. Warren Buffett, who was pretty successful, said the difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything.
Everything.
Everything. Delegate and say no.
Wow. Yeah.
Those are your tips right now.
Now, I'm going to guess that productivity can really be slowed down if you're a perfectionist.
We all know people who struggle with that. It slows you down because if you can't get everything just completely exactly the way you want it, then you spend a lot of time on unnecessary details. The problem with perfectionism is that you procrastinate a lot of times when you're a perfectionist, waiting for that very perfect moment. And in business, the saying is, if you wait for the perfect moment, it's probably too late.
Probably so. That's
right. You miss the big picture with perfectionism. You really got to keep moving things along.
Well, if you're looking for some tips on how to be highly productive, this is the right show to be listening to.
Because when we aren't productive, we don't get things done. It does affect our relationships. Mm-hmm. It builds resentment, and it can result in relationship conflict. And then we feel bad, and we might take it out on somebody who's around us.
Right. After the break, 7 Habits of Highly Productive People, right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Stay with us.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
What do Thomas Jefferson, Agatha Christie, Pope John Paul II, and Princess Diana have in common? Well, these notable individuals and many others, past and present, share the habit of journaling. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and I've got some tips for you on the value of journaling. Whether you're just writing down a few thoughts or pouring out your heart on paper, journaling has some real benefits, like getting a handle on your emotions, or a better understanding of other people, or even organizing your priorities. Sometimes reading your older journal notes will help you appreciate the sweet little details of life you enjoyed, but maybe have forgotten. One of the best benefits of journaling comes when you look back and you see how the Lord has been there in all your circumstances, directing your steps and taking care of the things that matter to you. If you've not considered journaling before, give it a try and see which of those benefits journaling might bring your way.
You can learn more from Relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and on today's program, Things Highly Productive People Do. Dr. Linda, you found an interesting article by Tony Wong, who is an expert on keeping people on task, and his clients include Toyota, Disney, Honda, and others. And he proposes 7 things that highly productive people do, and we want to share that today.
That's a pretty impressive list, isn't it?
Who doesn't want to be better at using their time well?
I'm raising my hand. I do.
That's right.
You can't see it on the radio.
Yeah, because when we're productive, we have, the key word is time, to relax and recharge.
Yeah.
So what's the first tip?
This one is probably something people have heard, but he says that you should work backwards from goals to milestones to tasks. For example, let's say your goal is to launch a new website. Tony says that if you write that goal at the top of your to-do list, start a new website, you'll probably never do it.
No.
Because it's kind of overwhelming, isn't it, to say, right, I'm going to just do that. I don't have any clue where to start. He says instead, break down the work into smaller chunks until you have a very specific task that you can do in a few hours or even less, something small. Let's use our website launching for an example. And what he would say is do an introductory video as your start. Start to build the pieces and start taking it piece by piece. Set a goal that's doable and then check it off your list.
Well, the type A perfectionist would benefit from this because when they see the big goal in front of them, they immediately say, oh, I can't do that, and then it never gets done.
I think it's a really good strategy. I do this every day. I have so many big things that I have to get done. One thing I'm working on right now is a book chapter. I thought, I can't get this done. I can't get this done. And then I did exactly what he said. I took it and I broke it down. First, I wrote the intro. Then I wrote an outline. And then I started with one little section on the outline. And I'm seeing it come together. It's beginning to look like it may get done.
I keep a list,
which is the to-do list. That's what he's saying. If you keep that list and it's too big, you might say, I can't do that.
But see, what I do is I date the page, like today's date.
Yeah.
And for the things that don't get finished, that weren't really that critical for today, moves over to tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we can complete it tomorrow.
The big one for me is clean the house because I'm working during the day outside of my house, so I can't just do a little bit.
Right.
But if I go home every night and I do a little bit, I might clean a bathroom, I might do laundry, I might do by the weekend, it doesn't feel so overwhelming. But if I put on my to-do list, clean the house on Saturday, I just look at that and go, okay, we're going to a movie.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But if the list says mop the floor, clean the bathroom, I think we agree that breaking down big tasks to smaller, manageable pieces is a good idea.
It's a good idea.
What's the second tip?
Stop multitasking. This is tough because we all do it. The research shows that this is a productivity killer. They call it a crusher. The way the brain works, you have to stop and refocus, and it ends up with people having more mistakes. If you're constantly getting pulled away for something, it takes all this energy to get back in to refocus on that task. And what we have found is that highly productive people do one thing because they're not doing that switching task that doesn't work. In fact, listen to this. It drops your IQ an average of 10 points when you multitask. Here's the crazy thing. Women have more of a capacity from a neural point of view to multitask than men do. When men multitask, they drop their IQ 15 points. And for women, only 5 because we're better at multitasking. So that is not a good way to be productive. If you really want to be productive, if you've got to knock something out, just focus on that and get rid of all the distractions.
Well, people take so much pride in being able to multitask.
It's an in thing to do.
Right.
But it doesn't work. And kids, when they're studying, do this. And this is one of the reasons why kids aren't learning as well as they used to. Because they've got multiple devices. They're constantly starting and stopping the brain. And the brain does not get a good focus like it needs.
Tip number 3 has to do with distractions.
Yeah. It's eliminating every distraction. I know for me, what I have to do is I have to lock the door. Turn off your phone. Don't answer email. And even those prompts that come in email, do you click on them? That's that distraction thing.
Right.
I try not to, but they're right there on your screen and they make a noise, so I try not to do that. You can set your office email to offline mode at your desk.
Mm-hmm. When the prompt shows up, open the email immediately.
Then you're multitasking and you're getting distracted. Mm-hmm. It's all that distraction and multitasking go together. Get to a really quiet area and focus on that task and eliminate all the distraction.
I'm sorry, I was reading email. What did you say?
Speaking
of email, tip number 4 has to deal with scheduling email.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do this. I thought I'd give it a try maybe. But one of the tips of Tony was to schedule your email. Do you think you could do that? Just pick 2 or 3 times a day when you're going to check it out?
Well, the nature of what I do is
I know
so instant.
The same with me.
If you do that, you'll get in trouble.
When checking your email constantly during the day, you get a lot of noise. It's a good tip.
Okay. Is this next tip necessary? We have to do this.
Yes, you do. Here's the one that people struggle with these days. Pick up the phone and talk to people.
What?
No. I know. Email wasn't meant for conversations.
Mm-hmm.
If you're replying to email more than twice, then get up, find the person or pick up the phone and talk to him. He says in terms of your productivity, it'll go much quicker.
Sometimes email, the thread gets to be so frustrating because you can tell you're emailing back and forth, but the message isn't being transmitted
properly.
You
can't read tone and you don't know what the person means. Sometimes for fastness, it's a better idea to go. Is that a word? Fastness?
Fastness, yeah.
Fastness, okay.
I think so. It is now.
Just pick it up and go. Go to the person. No, it's old school, but it's probably necessary.
Now, tip number 6 is very important to me because everyone is always telling me what to do. They don't stop.
Here's what Tony says. Mm-hmm. Highly productive people work on their own agendas. I know if you have a boss who's telling you to do something, you have to do it.
Right.
But during the day, don't let someone else run your day if that's possible. So
right.
If someone's constantly interrupting you and saying, I need help with this, I need help with that, or people are going to their email and they go, oh my gosh, did you see what happened?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to address this. They get very distracted. Eat a good breakfast, take care of yourself, and set your agenda and try to prioritize your day.
We made a joke about everyone always telling me what to do, but basically they get in line on that list of things that I told you
I
keep every day.
You don't let them pull you off.
Unless it's critical.
I think it's easy in a job setting to let people mm-hmm. come in and interrupt you. You want to help. You stop what you're doing and you go and you do this and you stop what you're doing. And then at the end of the day, you look and you go, I didn't get anything on my list done.
Exactly. That's
so that's
true.
What you got to work on.
Okay, that was 1 through 6. We've got one more tip.
Work in 60 to 90 minute intervals. I'm working with highly motivated med students,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they'll sit for 4 hours and without take a break, and it's not really productive to do that. Here's why. Your brain uses more glucose than any other bodily activity. You spend most of it. You use it after 60 to 90 minutes, and that's why you feel burned out. If you go to a long meeting,
mm-hmm.
people are just ranting, you're there for 2 hours, you can see people like dropping around the table and getting tired and looking fatigued. Take a break. Get up, go for a walk, have a snack, do something to recharge. And yes, that probably means you got to add a little time onto your day if mm-hmm. you do that, not including lunch, of course. I try to get up every 60 to 90 minutes. I do that one at work.
Right. Well, we're only about 20 minutes into the show, but I think I'll get up right now and go have a snack.
You can have a break
for
a few minutes.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show on today's program, Things Highly Productive People Do. And when we return, spiritual tips on being productive. So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal, and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast-food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today, things highly productive people do. Today we are providing you with behaviors of highly productive people. And Dr. Linda, how about some spiritual tips that help us be productive?
It's really interesting because people do use the word spirituality. We hear that all the time, don't we, when we're talking to people who aren't believers, as well as people who are believers. You might be surprised to learn that people put a spiritual dimension into their lives, and they incorporate this when they're talking about being a highly productive person. We found some professionals, and even though we don't know their state, we don't know whether they're Christians or not Christians, here's what they say. It's from Forbes magazine, which most people are familiar with. In order to be highly productive, you should meditate. They don't give you any directions about how you should meditate or what you should meditate on, but they really believe that this is a way to be more successful in life. And so a lot of people do all kinds of things to meditate to get their mind ready to start the day. And we're going to suggest in a few minutes that maybe there's a biblical way to do that.
Right. Laura Vanderkam, the author of What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast, she also wrote What the Most Successful People Do on the Weekend. Well, she says that cross training makes you a better athlete.
Yeah, well, if you can do it.
Right. Likewise, exercise, volunteer work, and spiritual activities make you a better worker than if you just simply worked all the time.
She's adding spiritual activities into that list of exercise, volunteer work, and everything else. People get the idea that somehow doing something spiritual contributes to their productivity. Marcia Egan, who is a professional coach, believes that the successful person does have to have that spiritual life in addition to their work life and their family life that's fulfilling. She thinks that somehow you have to be fulfilled spiritually. I don't know how she defines that for the person, but she notices that as one of the key traits.
Right. Roy Cohen is a career coach and the author of The Wall Street Professional Survival Guide. And he says, from his perspective as a career coach, real meaningful success bridges the two. Great prosperity combined with real joy and a passion for your work.
So he's bringing a spiritual dimension into that as well.
Right.
As Christians, I don't want to be prideful and say we have the inside track. We do have an inside track on how to cultivate a spiritual life. Now, a lot of people who are not Christians would think that they have a path to spirituality. We're going to present the Christian view here because that's who we are, right?
Right.
I really believe that if you renew your commitment to serve the Lord every single day, I think if you start your day with prayer and you focus on that scripture that says, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. If you respond to God's love as you're reading through the word and you're looking at it and you're reminding yourself how faithful God is, that as you start that centering of the day, and this is what people who have other spiritualities have a sense of, as we do that with the living God, the God who is in us, and we commune with him in the morning, that is a great way to start with good productivity. Do you find that when you don't do that, you seem a little bit more chaotic during the day?
Chaotic and empty, and the lack of organization. Staying focused in one track is tough.
It does make a difference, and I have to discipline myself to do it every single day. Sometimes I miss a day, but if we live in these one-day segments of faithful obedience, like today is the day, Lord, I'm going to do the best I can. I want to walk in your calling today, put before me the things that you want me to do and help me focus on the things you want me to do. I think that's a great way to do that. If you take 15 minutes, a lot of times people don't do it. And I know I was guilty of this because I thought I had to get up at 5 a.m. and I had to spend an hour with the Lord. All I used to do was fall asleep when I did that. So that didn't work for me. Had to keep the time a little bit later and then shorten the time a little bit. But it does help us renew our mind. It helps us be led by the Spirit for the day. Pray, listen to the Lord, and see what the Lord is prompting you to do.
You know, our pastor has spoken on that before, the need for a Sabbath and a day of rest.
That's different. So we're talking about doing this daily. Now you're talking about taking a day. When he preached that sermon, were you convicted?
Oh, yeah.
I was convicted because he was so specific about you have to take a day a week, take some renewal time.
He said hiking with your family may be a restful activity. Having to do this on the Sabbath, that's where you need to stop.
I think what happens is we get worn out. If we continue to work, and we're doing that 7 days a week, if God rested on the seventh day, that's a pretty good model for what we need to do. And I think as Americans, we have a tendency to be constantly doing, and we have a hard time resting.
Mm. You mentioned earlier that when we have energy for something, we're more productive. Would that energy include the joy of the Lord?
I think so. If we pursue that joy of the Lord that transcends our circumstances, the joy of the Lord is based on God's complete and unconditional love for you. It doesn't change. It never changes. And the circumstances change. Other things in our life change. But if we put our eyes on the Lord and really understand that He loves us and we rejoice in the reality of His deep and His very reliable love for us, that's always available to us, always. And that should strengthen us, and that should give us the ability then to have some energy to go forward to the day and be more productive.
And I think that we become more productive when we understand our significance and purpose in life. If you realize who you are in Christ, that's a source of energy that we've discussed.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the purpose-driven life was so powerful, because we want to have a purpose in our life, and that motivates us to do things for the Lord, not to win His affection, but to do things because of His affection in our life. Staying close to the Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, He's going to help you be productive for the day. So I think of all the tips that we could possibly give you, that would be the most significant one. Start your day with that short time with being with the Lord, letting Him guide you, lead you. And during the day, do some checks. God, is this what you want me to focus on? Is this what you want me to do? And stay in that close relationship along with all the other great tips that we gave. That's about all the time we have, so we're going to have to stop. I hope you got a few good tips on how to be a highly productive person. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Isaiah Wilhelm, our post-producer, Chris Underation, and thanks to you, Chris, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.